Hello, what are you been? Graham here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It's Monday the 13th of April 2015. It's about 10:15 in the AM. How are we all? Well, I want to talk about Gumtree. I love Gumtree. It's official. I would like to marry Gumtree. Yet again, it's just proved to be fantastic for selling stuff. I advertised actually advertised six items on Friday, and four of them sold by Saturday evening. And the guy came and picked up the last of the bits yesterday. So literally everything was gone within 48 hours. I've got two items left on there to sell, which I'll come to in a minute. But I had my old TV, which was the one that went pop bang. Well, didn't go pop a bang, it just stopped working. A couple of weeks ago, I had that. So I put that up for spares or repair. And that sold within an hour. I posted it and I had four inquiries within an hour on a broken TV. And it's literally, I had two solid offers, one general inquiry, and then the third guy came back with came straight at me with a decent offer, and I accepted it. And it was only like a fiver less than what I was asking for it originally. So I was quite happy to accept that. And he came and picked it up an hour and a half later, and it was gone. And then I had a load of shelving and sort of storage systems that I'd had from when I was self-employed for keeping all my stuff organised in the back of my van. Not that it was often organised, it was usually just chucked in a heap. But yeah, I had all this shelving and stuff. And it had been in my garage for, well, since I packed up two and a half years ago. And I'd kind of been using it a little bit, but it's not really intended for garagey use. It's more sort of mobile storage because it's all sort of flaps and rails and stuff to keep everything secure. So it wasn't ideal. And it was taking up a heck of a lot of space. So I was clearing the garage out last week, as I said, and I just kind of thought, you know what, this can go. It's no good to me. It can go. So I put all that up for sale. And a guy came down yesterday and bought the lot off me. Took the whole lot away. Just starting out on his own. So, you know, he needed to save a bit of money. And, yeah, it fitted the bill for him perfectly. So, it just proves it. The thing is, why I love Gumtree is there are no fees. Primarily, there are no fees. When you say things like eBay, is it 10% or 15% now? I think it might be 15%, isn't it? Depending on when you sell it or what you're selling. But that's a lot of money. That's an awful lot of money. I'm looking at, I've got my camera for sale at the minute. And that's, I've advertised it for about 550 quid. But, you know, even if I knock 50 quid off that, 10% of that is a hell of a lot of money, you know, just to give away, just to lose. And nobody's going to pay me any more for it because they know I'm going to get stung for 10% on the back end, you know. So Gumtree fits the bill perfectly because it is a nationwide platform, just as eBay is. But it's just free. And the other alternative, of course, is the Facebook groups. And I'm trying to hold back from the Facebook groups at the minute because there's a car beeping outside. I'm trying to hold back from the Facebook groups at the minute just because of the dross you have to deal with, especially on the local selling groups, you know. Just ignorant people, rude people, idiots, basically. And it drives me nuts. I think the local selling groups seem to be, I'm trying to be diplomatic about this, seem to be populated by people who, like, desperately need a few quid at the end of the week to get them by, because the general tat that seems to come up for sale on there is amazing, and the enthusiasm to sell it and the conversations that can go on around something for like £2 is just It amazes me. It absolutely amazes me. And, you know, I'm not being snobby. I do understand, you know, a couple of quid is a lot of money to some people if, you know, if times are hard and this kind of thing. But, you know, there just seems to be this kind of, this sort of underclass of sort of selling stuff for peanuts, you know. I'm seeing things for sale on there. People selling stuff for a pound. For a pound, you've gone to the trouble of taking a photograph of it, sitting down and typing out an article to telling everybody what it is for a pound. And then you have the audacity to put collection only. Just like, what? But that seems to be quite common. And it fascinates me, to be quite honest. I noticed the other day it caught my eye because it was some kids' clothing. I think it was a young kid's nightdress or something like that. And I guess it was probably from one of the supermarkets. It had one of these like round stickers on the front, you know, that you see on supermarkets with like either the price or the size or whatever on. What caught my eye was it's brand new. Okay, so why are you selling it? And also the fact that even though it was brand new, it was probably just a poor quality photograph, but it looked really scruffy and dirty. And I kind of thought, either there's something wrong with that. And it just caught my eye as I was looking to see what else was being advertised before I put anything of my own on, you know. And I noticed that there were 38 comments, okay, below this thing. Now, this basically said, such and such nightdress, suitable for age 8, I think. £3 need gone today, right? £3. So firstly, you know, what kind of state do you need to be in to be that desperate to get £3? Do you know what I mean? That's the kind of thing. But then I thought, well, how does something like that generate 38 comments? How does one image like that generate 38? A conversation thread, 38 instances long. Because when I look at something like that, and I see a price tag still on it, and it's brand new, and never been worn, I think, how have you come by this? How have you come by this? Because to me, that's gone up somebody's jumper or slipped into a shopping bag, and it's been somehow got past the BP gate thing on the doorway of Asda, you know? Because I don't know about anybody else, but if I buy my kid something like, I think it was one of the Disney princesses or maybe the Frozen things or something like that. It was one of those kind of, you know, sort of children's characters that they're into. I think it was a Frozen princess thing. I bought my lad a Marvel superhero's bedspread the other day, a duvet cover thing the other day, and he is bouncing. He can't wait to get it on his bed. Okay, that's all he's talking about. Oh, can I have my new quilt cover tonight? My lad's 8 years old. He's not unusual. Any kid is going to get excited about stuff like that. So how can you possibly buy something like that for your 7 or 8 year old child, and they not wear it? That seems very suspicious to me, okay? Now, maybe on a £3 item, I'm probably overthinking this, but this just sums up these Facebook groups for me. Half the time, I'm sure most of the stuff that's for sale on there is nicked or shoplifted. Because I can't see how you can take that into a house where there's an 8-year-old girl who wouldn't want to immediately put it on. So how are you selling it? I don't understand. I don't see how that works. So I'm pretty certain it's probably been shoplifted. But then I thought, so I wonder if the 38 comments are somebody accusing her of stealing it. No, there wasn't 38 comments at all. It was 38 instances of the word bump, just to get it back to the top of the page. And she had, over the course of 2 days, she had bumped this post 38 times over the course of 48 hours. She must have done it pretty much every waking hour. She's bumped that back to the top in order to sell something for £3. I just looked and I thought, how is this the norm, and you know, I just, and you look at it and you think, okay, this is probably, you could take the the benevolent view and say, okay, so this is somebody who's, you know, she's desperate, she's on hard times, and she needs to get a few quid to feed her kids? Or is it just someone who's been down the shops? Because funnily enough, I looked a bit further down the page and there's this same woman who's selling something else that was brand new and unused for £2, still with the stickers on it, that was probably worth a few quid more than that if you bought it new. And I thought, I'm sorry, I don't believe that this is all new stuff. Either that, or I don't believe that it's been paid for in the first place. I reckon it's been up a jumper somewhere. But then you've got the audacity and the stupidity to just keep hammering that bump thing, bump, 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 to keep it at the top and highly visible. And just, it's just crazy. People have no shame, no shame at all. But you kind of think, okay, well, maybe if you want to take the benevolent view, maybe it's somebody who is on hard times, and you sort of have to have a little bit of sympathy. And you think, if you are that desperate for £3, what the heck is going wrong in your life, you know? Or with the world, or with the country, or whatever. I don't. liberal is a difficult word for me to say, I'm afraid. So I'm just thinking, well, that's the kind of people you're dealing with. So anyway, I've digressed really, really close. But you see stuff on these Facebook groups where it's blatantly fake. I mean, I saw Stone Island, someone selling Stone Island jackets on there a while back. Stone Island jackets. You're looking, what? I don't know. I'm not into fashion anymore, but the last time I looked at a Stone Island jacket, I think the cheapest one you could get was about 250, 300 quid, and they go up to about 400 or 500 quid for these jackets. There was somebody selling them for like 80 quid. Stone Island jackets for 80 quid. Obviously either stolen or fake, or a bit of both. I only say that because many, many years ago, I got a couple of Stone Island jumpers, and I was young and daft. In my defence, I was young and daft, and I was offered these things, I held my hands up and I bought them, knowing fine well that they probably weren't all that legitimate. The jumpers, what it turned out was that they were genuine original Stone Island jumpers, but I think that Stone Island still do this thing where they have two buttons on the sleeve and the badge, the actual label badge, is just buttoned on to the actual garment. It's not sort of sewn in or anything like that. So it just goes on with a couple of buttons. And what had happened here was that these jumpers were genuine Stone Island jumpers. You know, you could look through any look at any sort of possibilities of them being fake. They were genuine jumpers. But because when they store these things, apparently what they do is they keep the garments in one sort of location, and then the badges all get kept somewhere else or locked in a safe or something. So what had happened was people were nicking the jumpers or the clothing and then making fake badges. So it was a genuine original Stone Island jumper, but it had a fake badge, or they both had the fake badges, and you could see they were fake because when you turn them over, they were all nasty on the back. but I mean, I'm talking like, oh blimey, I was still 20 years ago, I'm talking now, something like that. Yeah, it must be 20 years ago since I got those. And it was all very, you know, my mate knows somebody who can get you these if you want a couple. Like, oh yeah, okay. Then I think I paid about 80 quid for them, and the things were about 200 quid retail at the time. It was all very cloak and dagger, and it was like, you know, meet in a busy shopping centre and like swap a carrier bag over and all this kind of stuff. It was all very sort of, felt really naughty. Well, it was naughty, I suppose, but it did felt like I was in some kind of a scary film. But nowadays they're selling these things openly on Facebook, and nobody bats an eyelid. Nobody questions where these things have come from, or you know, how have you come by these things. It amazes me. It really does. It really does. It really does. Anyway, I've digressed. I've gone miles away from what I was wanting to talk about. So yes, so I'm trying to avoid eBay, and I'm trying to avoid the Facebook groups because I really don't want to go down that route if I can help it. So Gumtree's brilliant because there's no fees, and when you when somebody contacts you, it comes through like a secure sort of email system, so they don't actually get your email address. I think the phone goes the same way, although I've never really checked. I'm not all that bothered, it does seem to work really, really well. And I'm surprised there aren't any other sort of platforms around that do something. Excuse me, hiccups again. Every time I record an audiobook, I get hiccups and I can't stop. It seems like a really ideal thing to do, an ideal way to sell stuff, just with, you know, planted advertising and stuff. That's just it seems to work. But you know, so I've got my fingers crossed. I've got my homebrew kit for sale on there, and I've got my camera, my lovely DSLR, is still on there for sale, and I've had no sniffs at all yet, which I'm a little bit disappointed about. I was hoping that it would go quite quickly. The trouble is, because I'm selling it as a bundle, I'd rather just sell it in one hit rather than selling all the bits individually. I could get more money for it if I sold the bits individually, but I just want to sell it as one bundle. And of course, when you do it that way, the problem is then that you're looking at a huge amount of money, or relatively huge amount of money, in one outlay, which isn't always easy for your average person to sort of buy. So somebody perhaps who's looking for an entry-level DSLR or a reasonably entry-level DSLR would perhaps be looking at going to a shop and maybe buying a starter kit with just a camera body and just a lens and paying sort of, you know, maybe 300-350 quid for it or something. So a full kit, yes, it's a bargain. Yes, they're getting a lot for the money, but it means them shelling out an extra 200 or 300 quid in order to buy it, you know. It's a bit of a dodgy sort of thing to be selling at the level I'm selling at, really. So I've just got to keep my fingers crossed. I have just put it onto I want to avoid Facebook groups. I'm talking about the local selling groups. I'm a member of a couple of closed groups specifically for trading in photographic equipment. So there are no sort of idiots, and it's all well administrated and all this. It's all very secure and safe and stuff. And I've sold a couple of bits through there before a few years ago. So I've just actually advertised it on there as well. The trouble is, what you get on these groups is a lot of the guys on there are traders. They're actually looking to the dealers, you know, so that they want to buy it at the cheapest possible price so they can sell it on at a profit on the market stalls or in their shops or whatever, you know. So it's a bit of a tricky tricky place to deal, but it's worth a try, you know. It's worth a try. There never seems to be any sort of animosity or anything on there. So I've advertised it on there for now. So hopefully I'll get some movement pretty soon. Fingers crossed. I just don't want to go down the eBay route if I can help it. But I need it gone. And the trouble is, now I've decided on which camera I want to buy. I've made my mind up. Decision's made. I'm not changing now. I've set, this is the camera I'm buying. So whereas like last week it was like, okay, I'll stick my camera up for sale. And while I'm waiting for it to sell, I can then do my research and think about what I'm going to buy and make me decisions. I've now made the decision. I know what I want. I just need the money to go and buy it. So... So I'm like, I just want this to sell now, please sell. I'm just, if I had any hair, I'd be pulling it out. I'm so impatient. Honestly, I'm like a big kid. I really am like a big kid. Honestly, if I see something, I just want it. I just want it now. And of course, the other thing is when it does sell, you know, To buy me new shiny one that I want, you know, do I buy it online and maybe save you know, a little bit of money, and we'll have to wait a few days, or do I just get in the car, drive to Currys and go and buy one because I want it, you know? So it's it's a bit of a tough one, but I'm sorry, I just got distracted. Somebody posting stuff through the door. So yeah, but anyway, what camera have I decided on? Well, I've decided on the Sony A6000. Much deliberation. I've got to be honest, the first time I started looking at this, I think I mentioned I was looking at some of the fixed focal length cameras, such as the Fuji X100S or the Ricoh GR, something like that, something fixed focal length that with no fluff and nonsense, just a straightforward point, shoot, click camera, that was it, but with a load of decent tech inside it so it can do a really good job, albeit quite restricted. But as I went on, I kind of looked more deeply and I thought, you know what? I'm not ready to I don't want to step that far back, you know, coming from having my lovely SLR with all its functionality and interchangeable lenses and that kind of thing. I really don't want to step too far back down from that. And initially, one of my first thing I said was I wanted a viewfinder. I want to keep a viewfinder. I don't just want to go to a screen-only camera. Although, listening to a lot of people seem to be still have seem to be sort of saying the same thing, but then only using the screen, even though they have the viewfinder available. But you know, I've never seen an LCD screen yet that works well in bright light, especially for photography. So I want that. I want the option of a viewfinder. So that was my immediate criteria. So that ruled out a large batch. And then I thought, well, could I handle fixed focal length? Yes, I probably could, because you just adapt your photography to the equipment that you've got. You know, I mean, I've quite often said to people who've just bought a new camera, and then and they go, oh, look at my photographs, and they're like, and you can see like a load of branches, and you're like, what? And they go, yeah, I'm not too happy with that. I was trying to take a picture of that magpie sitting in the tree, and you're like, right, but you don't have a 400mm telephoto lens. You've got an 18-55 kit lens. You're not going to be able to take a picture of a magpie in a tree and make it look pretty. It's just not going to happen. But then all you do is you just change your style of photography. You change what you shoot. So instead of trying to take a picture of the magpie sitting in the branch of the tree, why not take a picture of a nice close-up picture of the bark of the tree with the light shining over it and the lovely shadows falling off it, and you can see the texture and that kind of thing. And then you can enhance that texture in post-production and editing to make it look something a bit special. Why not take a picture of the why not take a picture of the stones that are on the floor at the base of the tree? You know, maybe rearrange the stones a little bit, you know, and you know, make them into a more sort of arty design and take a picture of that. You know, that's the type of thing you should be looking at, rather than trying to take a picture of the bird that's 20 foot up in the top of the tree. Look at what's in front of you and go with the kit that you've got. So going to the point I'm making there is if I went to a fixed focal length, as in 28 or 30 millimeter, whatever these fixed focal lengths are, I could cope with it. I could handle it. I would just adapt my style of photography to suit it. It's not really that much of a problem. But then I think, do I want to be that restricted? Is that too much of a come down from having the DSLR? And the answer to me is yes. I would miss that. I would miss that flexibility to be able to kind of zoom in, zoom out, go wide angle, go. I would just miss it. I would miss it too much. And I think it's too much of a step back. But I still need to be small and compact. That's the whole idea of this, is so I can just reduce the size of everything. Because I love my DSLR. I wouldn't want to sell it if I could help it. If I could have both, I would have both. But unfortunately, times is hard. And I need to sell one to pay for the other, you know. But otherwise, I would love to keep my DSLR. And I might go back to a DSLR one day in the future. I'm not sure. It's early days yet for this mirrorless thing. So nobody really knows if it's going to take off or not. So, yeah, I'm taking a bit of a gamble, really. Hark at me, early adopter, eh? So yes, I don't want to come too far away from the DSLR thing. So I want what's called a compact system camera, which has got, it's much, much smaller, but does have interchange lenses and that kind of thing. So anyway, I'd come down to a few. Then I narrowed that down to two possibles. Okay, so the two possibles were the Olympus OMD EM10, which is a beautiful looking thing. It looks a very, very retro look. It's very sort of black fake leather body with a lovely sort of brushed aluminium top and a center viewfinder and this kind of thing. Beautiful looking thing. Absolutely stunningly gorgeous to look at. And it's really, really functional. It does a really good job. And all the reviews I've seen are very, very favourable as well. Really good, you know. And you kind of look at it and think, oh, that's perfect. That's really good. And the other one I was looking at was the Sony A6000, which is getting a lot of love, a lot of love. YouTube is rife with videos of it, of people ditching their Canons and their Nikons and switching to this Sony compact system camera. Even professionals are doing it, and it's getting a lot of love. And you kind of look at that and you think, well, this is perfect. And you can, for both of these, you can get adapters, so you can use all kinds of old retro lenses. So there's guys going around junk shops and picking up lenses for like 10 quid. Sticking them on an adapter, and you know, they're not going to be the best lenses in the world perhaps, but they've got a function, they've got a use that these guys can use to create artistic effects and this kind of thing. So it's really exciting, and it's kind of, oh, this is brilliant. So then it comes down to the choice between the two, and you go, which one do I want? Because it's one of these two. I've decided now it's one of these two. And I know people who've got both cameras. So it's kind of, you know, that I can get sort of feedback from both camps. But looking at my own personal use, what I want to use the camera for. So One of the things that I love is Instagram. I love Instagram. And the obviously Instagram shoots in square format. It's a one-to-one square format platform. Now, both of these cameras can upload via Wi-Fi, so you can literally connect them to your phone. You can take an image on your camera, send it to your phone, post it to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. However, with Instagram being a square format, it means cropping down the image unless you shoot the image in square format. Does that make any sense? So I would take an image in standard 16:9 format on the camera, for example. Excuse me, hiccups. On my camera, for example, or on my phone, which I'm doing in a minute. So if I take an image in, so I take my phone in the landscape and I take a lovely, lovely photograph and I think, oh, that's nice. I'll upload that to Instagram. Okay. Because I've composed that shot in 16:9 format, as it, using the rule of thirds, Google is your friend if you don't know what the rule of thirds is, that my image will be, well, blow me on trumpet a little bit, but I will try and get that image perfectly composed. If I then try and upload that image to Instagram, I have to crop the image. I have to chop a chunk out of it. So that throws the composition right out. Even if it's stuff and nonsense at the periphery of the image, it still makes the, it's still going to throw the composition out to whatever degree. And I don't like that. It frustrates me. I don't like it. So what I'm finding that I'm doing an awful lot of is I'm shooting with the Instagram app on my phone. I'm just shooting in Instagram all the time because I do enjoy playing with Instagram. I love the filters and the effects that you can put on and this kind of thing. But then consequently what happens is if I want to use the image for something else at a later date, I can't because it's just in square format. It's just an Instagram image and it's no good for publishing on Flickr or anywhere else. It's just an Instagram image. So that frustrates me. And this is something that's been bugging me for a while. So the idea being that if I could find a camera that uploads via Wi-Fi to my phone and also shoots one-to-one, I could potentially shoot the image that I'm shooting as a photographer in my camera, snap, 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 in 16:9 format or whatever. And then I think, oh, this would make a good Instagram. So I can switch the format to one-to-one within the camera and then take a square format image specifically for uploading to Instagram. That was me thinking. That's what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, the Sony doesn't shoot one-to-one, and that's frustrating. The Olympus does, but the Sony A6000 doesn't have an option to shoot one-to-one. I don't know why, it just doesn't have that option, which is really, really frustrating, because that's the only thing that's been holding me back. Everything else, okay, there are a couple of other bits. The Olympus has a touchscreen, which is handy, but was that going to bother me too much? Not really, no. And there's also a very simple, straightforward way to fix your point of focus, to change your point of focus on the Olympus. It's a little bit more complicated in the Sony, but it's doable. It's not really a massive thing. So the only real thing that was holding me back was this fact that the Olympus shoots one-to-one and the Sony doesn't, which would make my life easier being an Instagram fan. And then I'm thinking, well, this is silly because it's just a daft social network, really. But it's not. I love Instagram. I really do. As a photographer, I love playing around with all the post-production stuff, the developing and stuff. It's brilliant. So this has been bugging me. And I'm thinking, but this is daft. But the reason why I don't want the Olympus, or I'm cautious about the Olympus, is because it's got a different sensor in it. The Olympus has only got what's called a micro four third sensor, which is a teeny sensor. So therefore, it struggles in low light, or it's going to struggle in low light. You're going to get sort of digital noise. It's also, because of the smaller sensor, it also gives a deeper depth of field, which would be good for landscapes because I can focus on a tree 40 yards in front of me, for example, but have the depth of field of the focal range going right out to almost infinity because of the smaller sensor and that deeper depth of field. However, I do a lot of detail work as well. I like getting in close and taking pictures of like rusty locks and barbed wire and stuff like that. And when I'm doing stuff like that, I want this lovely bokeh effect. B-O-K-E-H, Japanese word, means blurred, basically. So when you see like an image, like take a portrait, for example, where you can see, a person standing in front of perhaps, say, a rhododendron bush in full flower. But you can see the person in front crisp and sharp, but the bush behind them, you can't really see that. You know it's a bush, but it doesn't really look like a bush. It just looks like a blurred mass of green and pink sort of splodges. but it gives that lovely effect, and that's called bokeh, when that background's really thrown right out of focus, so your subject stands right out. And with a smaller sensor, it's really difficult to get that. It's really difficult to get that effect because of the deeper depth of field. The Sony has the APS-C sensor, which is the same size sensor, I'm probably getting really technical here, which is the same size sensor that's in my DSLR, which means it handles low light a lot better, but it also has a slightly shallower depth of field, which isn't quite as good for landscapes, but it's a lot better for close-up work, for getting that lovely bokeh effect. So I wanted the Sony, I want the Sony, but it's still bugging me that this thing doesn't shoot one-to-one. And I'm, oh, but it's going to mean I've just got... And then I'm thinking, I'm going to have to take my camera out then. And I'm, no. But then I've been speaking to this guy, only via Instagram and Twitter, just got to know him over the last couple of weeks. And he's got the A6000. And he actually, and I'd kind of heard about this before, but I'd forgotten all about it. This guy told me that there are apps available which allow you to post any image to Instagram without cropping it. It kind of puts like a border on. Yes, so it shrinks the image a little bit, but it still allows you, if you want to just post your native image. If you don't want to go through the hassle of getting your phone out and taking a specific Instagram, you can post any image onto your Instagram feed using this sort of funny technique. And there are a couple of different ones I want to try. I tried one yesterday, which I'm okay with, but I think there's probably better ones out there. There are probably better ones out there. But what that I've gone right off on a tangent there. What that basically means is that now I know that I can use the Sony. I can do what I want to do with the Sony. I can upload directly to Instagram from the camera, which is the only thing that's been holding me back. You know, that's it. That's all I needed to know. And this guy's shown me, and he's also shown me how to do a lovely bit of editing within some certain apps, Snapseed, I think, which I'd heard about, but I've never used. But I've had a bit of a play with that, and that's lovely. It's really nice, really good app, and it's just been updated as well with some amazing features on it. So I can actually do editing on the fly as well, which is brilliant. If you look through my Instagram feed, you'll see I love editing stuff. I love post-production and using filters and playing around with settings and stuff like that. I just love playing with it. That's ideal for me. That's ideal. So the upshot of that is, sorry for going off on this massive waffly tangent, I've probably bored most of you stupid unless you're a photographer. Is that I've set my heart now. That's it. It's the A6000. That's what I want. That's the camera that I want. That's it now. Case closed. Boom. Jury's gone home. Judges passed verdict, and that's it. I'm having the Sony A6000. So now I just need to sell my camera. I'm out of breath. However, while I've been talking to you, I just advertised my camera on the photography Facebook group about half an hour ago, just before I started recording this. So the brilliant thing is that while I've been talking to you, I haven't looked yet. I'm keeping it as a surprise until I press the stop button. But I've just had a Facebook message come in. I heard the little ping to tell me that Messenger had pinged, which is often a good sign, because quite often these people will direct message you from the Facebook groups rather than speak to you publicly, which is good. I could be an interested buyer. I haven't looked yet. I'm saving it as a surprise. I've also had two Facebook comments come in. I've heard pop twice to tell me that Facebook notifications have happened. And I've also had an email notification, which could be from Gumtree. So potentially, it's like having a lottery ticket on a Saturday night and just waiting for the numbers to come up. When I look at my phone in a minute after I've pressed stop, I might have come a step closer. Yes, definitely. I'm not going to look. I might possibly have just sold my camera. Right. I've gone on for far too long and I've waffled and probably bored you guys really stupid. I'm very sorry for that. But I do thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to me waffle and rant and rave and stuff at you, because as always, it's very much appreciated. Hope you're all well and happy, guys, and I will speak to you again very, very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.